Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. This is another episode of Not Too Taboo. Nice, baby.
Thank you.
You are my yin to my yang. lunch date.
My what date?
You're my lunch date.
I'm your lunch date?
Yeah.
I thought you said your munch date. That's literally what I thought you said. What? I legit thought you said
the
that.
The show's been on for like 6 seconds. You took it to the curb already.
But I legit thought you said munch date. That's why I go, what?
Lunch date because you look so delicious today.
Oh, thank you. Oh, in my robe with my hair. Hasn't been washed in like 22 days.
Yep. You look great.
I love that you still like how I look no matter what I look like.
I do because I look.
That's when you know you have a good man, you guys. When you can wake up looking like a hot mess express and he's just like, babe, you're so hot.
Yeah, but you're my hot mess and I can't wait to ride the express.
Oh, Lordy! And that's why we're called Not Too Taboo.
Okay, love. Could you talk a little bit about our special guest today?
I'm very excited about our amazing guest today because so many of you know who he is. It's literally been 10 years since his standout performance on Project Runway. Clearly I can't even say it. And now he's one of the most notable celebrity fashion designers known for his sexy designs worn by people like Beyonce, Lady Gaga, Jennifer Lopez, Mariah Carey, Cardi B, and yes, I'm proud to say me among others. Yay! Wait, where's the clapping? I need the clapping.
Oh, wait. Where's the clapping?
Hold on, wait. I can't hear it. No, that's laughing.
Oh, that wasn't laughing. Oh, that was
epic fail.
Sorry about that. That was my bad.
Okay, we lost it. Anyway, you guys, he's built a massive fashion empire, which includes a brand new swimwear collaboration with Revolve, which we all know and love. It's for women of all shapes and sizes. Plus, he's one of the first designers to design, donate, and personally deliver masks to essential workers on the front lines. Please welcome our dear friend, Mr. Michael Costello.
We have a very large studio audience. Just
What an incredible introduction. I'm kind of speechless. I don't even know what else to say.
Michael, we've known you for 10 years and you've never been speechless.
Yeah, right? Exactly. No, okay, but this right there, what this man just said, this is why we love Michael. Because legit, no matter how big he gets, no matter what star he works with, he is truly one of the most humble, like good-hearted, amazing people ever. And I have to tell you something.
That's what we enjoy most about you, by the way.
Yeah.
That you have, as our friend, you have never changed. And you always show up and you're always there, even though you're typically on vacation doing something different. But you always show up. And so we just so love and appreciate you.
Yeah. And you know, I got to say,
Today I almost didn't show up. This
I know. That's funny. Yeah. He actually had a very important appointment with a big time celebrity. And so we had to push this back a little because that ran a little bit late. But he still showed up.
Why are you late to our podcast?
Oh, stop it.
I feel so cool right now because I'm like, well, I was in a fitting with Oscar De La Hoya. You know, had to get his suit ready because he's shooting the cover of a magazine. And, you know, he requested me to be there personally and come and fit the suit. Who wakes up in the morning and say, hey, I'm going to fit Oscar De La Hoya?
But By the way, he thought you were the tailor. He was just like, he didn't know.
He thought I was a tailor. As he was putting on the suit, he's like, yeah, I just wanted to make sure Mr. Costello is impressed with the suit. I want to make sure he looks good. I don't know. What am I supposed to say? I'll tell him. But wait. Before we go into all that, can we rewind it back a few seconds to where Slade said he enjoys riding the hot mess?
Of course, Michael wants to go there.
She's the hot mess express.
Yeah, and get it straight.
Said, I don't mind riding that train. That's all I said.
Michael, it's the Not Too Taboo podcast. So, you know, that's going to happen. Okay. So Michael, I want to tell the audience a little bit about our history, right? So do you remember
Gretchen when I used to date before she knew Slade and, Gretchen is actually, I have a 17-year-old son and Gretchen's his mom.
Surprise.
Surprise.
Breaking news. Here's the juicy scoop. No. Okay. So do you remember how we actually met?
Yes, we met at a benefit that I think Slade was having at Victor, the hairstylist.
For Grayson.
It was in the back. It was for your son.
We've been very good friends for 10 years. And He designed a bunch of my reunion dresses. One, I think that you guys remember a lot, was the Seafoam dress, reunion dress that was like, it was so pretty. It was so unique.
That
it was so different.
Beautiful, like one of the most beautiful dresses I've ever seen you wear on a reunion show. And also one of the ugliest cries I've ever seen happen.
Yeah.
It was an ugly cry.
For sure.
That was the reunion show, guys, whoever's listening. Gretchen wore this gorgeous one shoulder Seafoam green, kind of minty chiffon type dress with jewels on the shoulder and on the waist and on the wrist. It was really, really beautiful. And she fell down 18 stairs, and that's why she was crying, because Tamra tripped her.
Yeah, exactly. And,
yeah.
No, but what I remember about that dress in particular was it was so pretty, but we had this cuff on the one sleeve that had all the jewels on it.
Catching.
And because the dress was chiffon, every time that I would like start to yell and I'd get really upset, it would snag the dress. And I'd have to like stop because I didn't want my dress to like basically come off, like have a Janet Jackson moment on stage. And so I was like, oh, and I'd be like so frustrated and be like, stop like yelling at, you know, Tamra across on the couch. And then I have to like restart my thought. But anyways, it was a really pretty dress. I have
and an even
every
better
dress.
Juicy reunion show.
I know, it was very juicy. I have every dress that Michael's ever made me. Actually, you know what I should do? I should start like a showcase of like all my Michael Costello dresses.
I thought you were going to say I should start an auction.
Could you imagine? Actually, I wouldn't be mad about that if it went to a good cause.
No, she would never part with them though. That's the thing.
Well, I just love them so much.
Such special moments.
They are special moments. Like
the baby showers. I love the white baby shower one with the sleeve.
Yes, yes.
That one's so special. And I like the reveal. I love the gender reveal. That one was so cool.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
The last couple of years, we've had a lot of events going on, a lot of big moments, a lot of big milestones. So he did Slade's 50th birthday dress, which was that gorgeous mustard dress. 50 Shades of Slade with the cape. And then I had this matching mask that I created with it. And then he made a bow tie for Slade out of that same material to match. And it was just so beautiful. And then he did the gender reveal dress, which was the half pink, half blue. Okay, so let me explain something to you. The thing that I love the most about Michael is that, bless his heart, I come in and I'm like, okay, so I have this idea. And he's like, oh, Lordy. You know, he's always just like, you've got to be kidding me. And I always come up with these crazy like concepts and ideas. And I'm like, and I want this kind of fabric and I want this. And so bless his heart, every time that I tell him what I want, he literally creates the masterpiece that I'm like envisioning in my head. And so with the gender reveal, I was like, I want the dress to be half blue, half pink. And he's like, what? And I'm like, well, because we don't know what it is. So I can't like wear pink or wear blue. I need it to be both. And most people would think that that could be like really ugly. And it could come out very ugly if you weren't like Michael.
Yeah.
Clowny if you want.
It could be very clowny. And so
it could be tie dye.
It could just look really bad. And so the fact that he takes my concept, my vision, and he creates it into this beautiful masterpiece. I cannot even begin to tell you.
You know what it is? I speak Rossi.
Yes, you really do. You really do.
That's what it is.
And
I speak Rossi.
He, like, I got so many DMs of people being like, where can I order that dress? Like, they just like the dress, like, to wear it for the daily thing, not for, like, a gender reveal. So it was the gender reveal. Then we had the baby shower, which, you know, I came in and I literally was showing him like 16 different dress concepts. And I'm like, can you take this piece from this dress and put this and do this? And he was like, oh my God. So anyways, he made the most gorgeous, perfect baby shower dress. I felt so just like maternal and beautiful, and it was just stunning.
Aw, thank
you. And then, let's see, and then what was next?
Well, Skylar's birthday.
Oh, and then Skylar's birthday. This one was really funny too, because it was kind of
last... I thought we had a week, but kept pushing the dates.
Well, yeah, Michael had some stuff come up, but here's the other thing. I had custom ordered a special matching swimsuit for me and Sky with like a cover up. And because of COVID, everything going on, it just was not getting here in time. And I was freaking out. Like, I put so much time and energy into planning the special party. And for me, I love anything that's a theme. And when something like a theme party like that, you don't have your look together, it like will ruin the whole day for me, right? So I call Michael and I'm like, I'm so upset. I don't know what to do. La, la, la. Can you please help me? And so I went to downtown LA the Wednesday before the Saturday when the party was. And I went and sourced all these materials and I found like a bikini that I needed him to manipulate and like all this stuff. And I come to him and I'm like, so I have this idea. He's just like, oh my God, really? And I was like, can you take this just long piece of material and make a skirt out of it and take this bling here and put, and so anyways, we sat there.
She turned the front of the showroom into a Joann Fabrics meets Hobby Lobby. There was crystals everywhere, brooches here, sequins there. At one point, I even found a bedazzled tampon. Like, there was something everywhere. I found bedazzled nipple clamps, you name it, it was there.
Hey, but how many people actually come to your showroom with bedazzled nipple clamps?
Oh my God. And now you'd I'm like sweating and taking my top off. No, but see, this is the thing I love about Michael. He literally is so collaborative and he really wants to make your vision like turn out what it was. And then on top of it, he takes what is your vision and he makes it even better. Like, he takes it to the whole next level and he thinks of things that you would never even think of. Like, I was just going to do the swimsuit with the skirt. And he was like, let's do this one shoulder. La, la. And I was
a custom
couture. And I was like, oh my God, this is so amazing. And then he made it so like the sleeve detached from the swimsuit. So if I wanted to wear the swimsuit separately, like, he's so brilliant and so talented in his designs. And I just love you for putting up with all of my crazy ideas. And always,
I love your crazy ideas. You guys, if I had Gretchen in the showroom a little longer, she would have wanted a detachable baby harness that turns into a bottle warmer. And if we could make and if we could maybe attach a panini grill to the side where the spaghetti strap is.
Yep.
That way, in case she gets hungry.
Oh my God.
Edible spaghetti strap. That's
and did creative. You guys see how adorable Skylar's little outfit was?
That was adorable. Michael. She looked really cute.
You saw that, right? You saw that. Oh, yeah, he saw
those. It was
baby. So cute. It was so cute. So he did Skylar's whole little outfit too. I went and found these little pieces that were so big and he customed it, fit it to her and add bedazzled. I mean, he was amazing. Like, I literally, and you know what's the best part about this story is, honestly, I feel like the outfits that he created were so much better than the ones I was getting.
Oh,
so,
a thousand times.
Yeah, a thousand times.
Oh, well, so, I agree.
Yeah, totally. So
I want to know, is it true? We're going to get to my
question.
What? Yeah, is it true that you started designing clothes when you were 2 years of age?
Yeah, I was at least two. I remember drawing all over the walls.
Wow.
And I could really remember them. I have such a vivid imagination and I could remember as far back as, you know, the time I was probably even one or two being pushed around in a stroller. And I remember taking crayons from the big box of Crayola, and the color that I picked was burnt sienna. And I would always play with that color. I know liked that color.
It's almost like copper looking.
It's like a copper color, but it also looks like skin. So I would try and draw people with it.
Oh, wow.
And I draw shapes with it. And then I would always give the shapes and the people hair so that you knew that they were people. And my mom seen that. And she would never wash the walls. She wouldn't wipe it off. She wouldn't get mad at me. She wouldn't yell. She'd be like, oh, it's beautiful. Baby. You know? So,
that's so sweet. I love to hear that.
That's since I was a kid. So moms, dads, let your kids draw on the walls.
Just I not love on, that.
But now they have like washable everything.
Yeah, they do. They really do.
But I want to know too, though. I mean, I think it's incredibly impressive that, you know, so you obviously have a talent to draw and create at a very young age. How is it that you managed to open up your first retail store at age 15? Like, who has the business sense to take their creativity and turn it into a business?
And that was down in Palm Springs, right?
I opened my first store when I was 3 years old, shortly after drawing on the walls.
Wow. You were 15 that was down in Palm Springs, right?
Yes, I was 50. I just dropped out of school, which I don't recommend for anyone, but I had a passion for fashion. And I started interning with Bob Mackie, who's a legendary fashion designer who created all of Cher's looks. And he's responsible for the most
huge costume designer, right?
Huge costume designer for Cher, Diana Ross.
How did you get connected
Carol
to him?
Channing. Well, before we had social media and Instagram, we had a newspaper. And I was always into classifieds and looking at things. What can I buy? And I was only 15 years old looking at all these kind of things. The newspaper was my Instagram. And I saw that Dolce & Gabbana was having a show. And then I saw that Badgley Mischka was doing a trunk show at Saks Fifth Avenue. And it was the same day. It was September 7th, 1997, that they were having their show at Saks Fifth Avenue. And then right next to their show on Rodeo Drive, Bob Mackie was signing his new book, Bob Mackie. And I chose to go and meet Bob Mackie instead. So I asked my mom and dad, and my dad was like, why does he want to go see this old man? I don't understand. What's wrong with him? You know? And my mom was like, that's Cher's designer. You don't understand. We got to take him. So they took me to go and see him. We waited in this long line. And then my dad goes up to Bob Mackie. He goes, I don't know who you are or what you do, but you play with dolls and my son plays with dolls. So Bob's like, okay, Mr. Costello. Yeah, I think what you're trying to tell me is that your son is gifted and he appreciates fashion. And why don't you guys come and take a look at my showroom someday? And maybe when your son gets older, he could come and work with us. And my dad was like, no, let's do this.
Oh my
what do you
God.
Got? He's like, what do you got going on now? What do you got going on now?
Seriously?
My dad's from New York. He's got he's like a very Al Pacino, Robert De Niro mobster. You can't say no. It. He basically fucking threatened Bob Mackie to give me a position and come and intern with him. So he's like, hey, you, Bob.
Oh my God.
What are you going to do with my kid? So Bob was like, bring him over.
That's a funny story. Yeah. So that's really how it happened. Like your father actually
I was there for about 6 months. And you know, it was a very memorable experience. I mean, I can't say I was designing for Cher right then and then. I can't say I was making stuff for Diana Ross, but I made sketches. I cleaned up the showroom. I put the pins where they go. I'd watch how the ladies would, you know, hand sew these magical fabrics. I got to see how the Charleston Barbie was made back then. It was really cool. But then, it turned out to be something else. Like, hey, Michael, can you get the packages? And then, hey, Michael, can you answer the phones? But nothing bad to say about it. I mean, like I said, everything happens for a reason. If I didn't do that, I would have never, make something work downtown LA when I was 15. And I started designing pageant dresses with this company called Claire's Collection, who used to dress all the women from Dynasty. And they used to make anytime you would ever watch the Oscars or the Golden Globes, and the girls from Fox would always wear them. They were a big pageant and red carpet company. And I worked with them up until I was 16, but then I left because I just wasn't happy there anymore. And we kind of grew up in LA and in Palm Springs.
Yeah.
So one day we went to Village Fest, which was like a street fair. Mm-hmm. And my dad saw this available place for rent. And he was like, what can I put there? We could do steak sandwiches. We can do strippers, maybe strippers and steak sandwiches. But there's a church behind it. Then he looked at me and he's like, why don't we open you up a fashion store?
Really?
And I was like, okay, let's do it. Let's open a fashion store. And our first celebrity client was Barry Manilow.
I love and Barry Manilow.
We have had the opportunity to meet Barry and spend some time with Barry.
Such a Barry Manilow. It's crazy.
He came up to my place and he's like, this is really wonderful what you're doing. These costumes are amazing. And he got two costumes for his backup dancers. And I thought, I was only 15. I thought he was Rod Stewart. So
he had a little, he's taller. That's has funny. A little Rod Stewart
way taller.
Going on.
That's
right?
Funny.
So I called my mom on those things that we used to have called a landline. I don't know if you remember those. I called my mom. I was like, Mom, Rod Stewart's here. This is so cool. So he was like, oh my God, this is amazing. So he left it like that until my mom got there. And when she saw it was him, she almost had a panic attack because obviously he's from her time.
Yeah.
And from there we got Mary Bono, who came in and, you know, she was just a member of Congress and she basically ran Palm Springs after, you know, Sonny died. And she referred Suzanne Summers, and Suzanne Summers,
which is best friend of Barry Manilow.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
And from Suzanne Summers came Brooke Shields.
Wow.
And just like all the Hollywood, you know, people who would vacation in Palm Springs would come up. And word got out to the Desert Sun. Word got out to like the Chamber of Commerce. Word got out to everyone in Palm Springs, even the mayor. They were just so impressed to hear that there's this 15-year-old kid making dresses for the local celebrities who's opened a store and on the cover of the Desert Sun newspaper. So it started, you know, super early and really fast. Like it went really, really fast. And I'll never forget. That's how I met Toni Braxton when I turned 16 years old. She came right up to my place and I had a beautiful piano upstairs. And, she came in with her sister Tamar and their mom and her then husband, who she's not with anymore. And they were looking around at dresses. And she was telling me she has a video coming out called Spanish Guitar. And she'd like for me to create something for her for that video. And I didn't know at first that it was her. She was wearing a hoodie, a little hat. And she saw my piano and she sat down and she started playing the piano, and she was singing a song from one of her early albums, and I was like, oh my god,
wow.
It was just amazing. And we had Florence Henderson come in, and
wow,
a lot of great people came. The one person I'll never ever forget who came into our Palm Springs boutique was Faith Dunaway.
When she
walked in, I was like in shock, and I said, okay, I just gotta tell you, look around the store. You will not find any wire hangers at the store.
Oh my God.
And she's like, that's cute and catchy, but I've heard that one before. I was
like, oh. Oh my gosh. So
I mean, that's, you know, here's the thing that I think is so cool. The fact that even at such a young age, and kudos to your mom and dad for A, their support.
I love that part of the story.
B, subconsciously, what's amazing about this is that, you know, even though you go work for Mackie and you spend time over there, I think subconsciously, look at the experience you got just in the business of fashion, right? I mean, because a lot of people think, oh, I'm a fashion designer. I want to create, I want to draw, I want to sew and learn all these technical aspects of really building and constructing a dress and how does the fabric drape? And there's so much that goes into it. But doesn't matter how talented you are, you have to have some expertise in business, right? You can't just
do it. You have to
on your talent.
I think the me back then, when I was 15, all the way up until I was about maybe 25, was just so involved in the creative process and teaching myself new things and learning how to sew and learning how to make my own patterns, because I never went to fashion school. Yeah. It was just something that my mom taught me at a very young age. She told me that you can take a t-shirt, fold it in half and put it over the fabric, trace it out with chalk and cut it out and then hand sew it. And you have a t-shirt. And if you want to make it a dress, just make it long and put a little belt on it. And now it's a dress. She's like, if you don't like the sleeves, take them off. Yeah. If you don't like the neckline of the t-shirt, cut it down the middle. So that's how her mom taught her. So she taught me all of that. She can't make the things that I make now, but like when she comes here and she sees what I make, her mind is blown away. She's like, how did you do this? How did you do this? But you have to love it. You have to have a passion for fashion and for creativity. And there's so many companies out there right now, you know, they do these Insta boutiques and internet, I could go and buy stuff wholesale and then change it or add a brooch or put a belt on it or hire a seamstress to add some sparkles to it, you know, and then they make themselves instant fashion designers and they make money off of it really quick. There's a lot of those.
Right.
But, you know, there's real designers out there who it runs in their blood. It runs through their veins. They eat, drink, breathe, sleep, fashion. And I'm one of those. But throughout the business, I've learned that I have to wear multiple hats and had to learn other parts of the business in order to succeed. And I have to kind of like be my own publicist and make different voices and make different emails and be like, oh, Mr. Costello will only see you at this time. He's unavailable. And they're like, well, what's your name? My name. And sometimes I'd have to be a girl and I'd be like, my name is Charlize, you know? And
No, I get it. It's like, you just have to, gosh, man, isn't that the truth?
Hustle.
You just have to hustle and you have to just figure it out. And especially being so young. So I have a question for you. When was that moment where you felt like you made it? Like, do you remember that moment?
Yeah, I think when I done Project Runway was definitely that moment. Let me tell you why. Because when I auditioned for Project Runway, I was 27 years old. And the guest judges that you'd have to meet were Tim Gunn, Nick Varios, and Zoe Glassner from, I think it was Glamour magazine.
Nick was part of it way back then.
Yeah, he was part of, I think he was on season two. Great guy. I love Nick. He and I stood friends. We remained friends. And he was like, Michael, come try out for the show. You're really good. You have what it takes. So it's because of Nick that I went to go and try out for the show. But I stood up. I stood up like 3 days. And I put in my book, in my portfolio, I put stuff of every housewife that I've ever worked with, every celebrity that I've ever worked with. Because this was in 2010 when I went to go do Project Runway. And the audition was June 2nd. And I stood up making this book. And I went to Walmart and I bought cheap fabric for $1 a yard for fabric. And I made 3 samples that night so that I could take with me for the interview. And I told them my whole entire story. I said, you guys, I've dressed every person I could think of because I was already friends with Paris Hilton. I was friends with Misha Barton. I was friends with Nicole Richie. Mm-hmm. Our parents, my dad was, friends with Paris's mom and dad from a very long, long time ago. My grandmother was friends with Zsa Zsa Gabor, and there's a whole like thing that a lot of people don't really know too much about.
Yeah.
So our families kind of knew each other, and I was always friends with the girls from a very long age, and they always supported me and wore my dresses. So I've dressed them all, but I've got nowhere.
Yeah.
So when I went to audition for Project Runway, Tim Gunn asked me, he was like, Michael, why Project Runway? You've dressed a lot of people. Celine Dion's in your book. Selma Hayek's in your book. Paris Hilton's in your book. Why Project Runway? I said, because I need to be known on a global platform. I want to use your show and I want to be in everybody's, living room Thursday nights at 9 p.m. on Lifetime so that people could see my work. And I believe that your show is going to take me there and give me the platform that I need. And he was like, I like your response. You're in. So,
wow. Wow.
So they were really impressed.
So that was, okay, so that was 10 years ago, right?
Yeah,
like close to 10 years ago
This July was our Project Runway season 8, 10 year special, not reunion, but anniversary.
Yeah, wow.
Anniversary. Wow, congratulations.
Wow. And so when you say that was the moment, like, was it the moment when he said you're on, or was it the moment of being like, on the show and that whole process?
It still didn't hit me because HP was one of their sponsors, their computer company. Uh-huh. And it didn't hit me until I got the HP TouchBar notebook in the mail. Mm-hmm. When that came in the mail, I was like, okay, it's official, because it came with this really cool welcome letter from Heidi Klum, Tim Gunn, Michael Kors, Nina Garcia.
Wow.
And it was like, welcome, Michael Costello. You've been selected to be one of the cast members from season 8. When opening this, please contact Janelle Randazza and Woody Woodbeck regarding what you need to do. And then we filmed the thing. And that's kind of like when it hit me. And when I was on the show, every single day, I would just pray to God to just make it as far as I can make it on the show.
Yeah.
And I would tell myself, this is going to be good because people will see you. They'll recognize your brand. They'll want to make dresses. I never knew that I was going to make it as a semifinalist.
Yeah.
And I never knew that I was going to keep winning challenges. And I never knew what reality television was going to do to my life. I mean, people still recognize me 10 years later. It's crazy. Like, you guys know, because you're reality TV, people come up to you, and some of them don't call me Michael Costello because there was another Michael on my season. So they call me Michael C.
Yeah.
And when I turn around, sometimes I don't want to turn around because I'm like, it's a Project Runway fan. It's a Project Runway fan. It's a Project Runway fan.
You guys, right before we started recording this, he was walking on the streets and a girl was like, can I take a picture with you? So like, we're here to verify that still happens all the time. It's so cute. I love that about you. So Michael, as we've mentioned, you've dressed a ton of celebrities, everyone from Celine Dion to Jennifer Lopez, Toni Braxton, Lady Gaga, Beyonce, and more. But do you have a favorite dress or red carpet moment out of all of
them? I do. I love this question because people are like, wait, what? Really?
Yeah.
So in 2013 at the American Music Awards, Kesha came out in a new, softer, glamorous, you know, they used to label her style as super trashy. Yeah. But she came out and she did this really beautiful cotton candy colored hair. One side was like a mint and one side was like an icy pink, almost like your dress.
Yeah, I was going to say, it sounds like my gender reveal.
It was super soft and her face was glamorous and her makeup was beautiful. And she wore my dress. It was a one shoulder dress and I called it the Barcelona dress. It had this huge black slit on the side and it was one shoulder with like a peplum. And Joan Rivers said she was best dressed. Do you remember when Joan Rivers had a Fashion Police and it was Juliana Rancic?
Yeah.
So Joan Rivers loved me and I had the opportunity to meet Joan. I was supposed to be a guest on Fashion Police and I went and I met everyone. I met Juliana. I met Joan and everything, but we had an emergency with Joan and she was rushed to the hospital and we had to prolong everything, but we still filmed a little bit. We still filmed a little episode and Joan loved my look. She was like, I used to call her Trasha, but now I know her by Kesha. And she looks beautiful in this Michael Costello dress. So that was my favorite red carpet moment. There's been a lot. I mean, people get mad at me when I don't say Beyonce was.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I feel like that was, I feel like that was like the most recognizable one, obviously.
Yes, that was my biggest moment in history.
Yeah.
And my biggest red carpet moment. And you know what? Yeah, fuck it. It was my favorite.
Yeah, there you go. It's okay. You can have a couple favorites. That's okay.
How does that compare to like dressing Cardi B for Paris Fashion Week?
So that was crazy. That broke the internet. It was insane.
Yeah.
I felt like Kim Kardashian's ass. I felt cool.
Because so for cool all of you that don't remember, Michael made headlines for designing a matching hat and dress for Cardi B's debut at Paris Fashion Week. So if you don't remember.
Kind enough to add me in the post. Aww. And mentioned me in the caption.
That's awesome.
She's always been a fan. And can I tell you guys, Cardi B came to 3 of my Fashion Week shows, sat front row with her stylist, Colin. This is before her massive blow up.
Wow.
She's always been a supporter. And I remember my first show that she came to, she had on this big oversized yellow fashion fur thing and people were taking pictures with me and she waited in line because Chris Brown and I, look, I'm like fucking name dropping like crazy. But Chris Brown and Carucci came to my show and I was so excited and I'm obsessed with Chris Brown. So I was taking like pictures with him. He's like, good collection, bro. Carucci loved it. I love this. And Cardi B was like, let me get in with y'all.
Oh, I love it.
I was like, who is this? She's fabulous, but can't she wait a minute?
let me have my moment with Chris.
So I wanted to know, so was it last year at the Grammys that Cardi B danced on top of the blinged out grand piano? Do you remember that?
Yes, I remember that.
Did you have anything to do with that outfit?
No, I'm trying to think who made that one. It might have been a very good friend of mine. His name is Brian Hearns. He might have done it. If it wasn't Brian Hearns, then it was another girl named Destiny Blue who makes these really beautiful crystal leggings. Yeah. It could have been one of them too. My best Cardi moment that everyone loved was this tropical, like flowy dress with her leg all out with these long sleeves. When she wore that dress, it was her biggest to date fashion moment.
Mm.
And it's crazy that's what happened. And her stylist, Colin Carter, loved the look. And we made this hat. And people knocked off that look so much.
Oh, I bet.
But you know what? I didn't care. It's now part of an iconic history. It's in a museum somewhere.
Wow. Okay. So we got to make you spill the beans a little, Michael.
Yes.
Okay.
He loves to spill the beans.
So are you allowed to talk about who's your favorite celebrity you've ever worked with? And I don't count. And
I'm going to tell you, I'm going to go right into that. I'm going to say, because people usually ask me who's the most difficult person to work
That's
with.
That's what I was going to ask and you too, but I don't know if you're allowed to talk.
And I'm going to, because I don't think the celebrity is difficult. What I think is difficult is the task and the time at hand.
Got it.
Some celebs will only give you 1 or 2 days for the project.
Yeah.
And that's happened with a lot of them. Others will give you, you know, a week, and that's wonderful, but you have to be prepared, because in that week, if you didn't deliver or give them what they want, they have the capability to just pick up the phone and go to Versace, go to Balmain, go to Gucci.
And that's stressful.
But does that come from the celebrity, Michael? Does that come from the celebrity, or does that come from
both.
The people?
Comes from the stylist and the celebrity.
Yeah.
But you got to remember, the celebrity already has that existing relationship with those major designers.
Yeah.
And I feel so humble when they reach out to me personally and they're like, oh, Michael, can you do it? And they always come to me because they know I can knock it out next day or 2 days.
Yeah.
But I will tell you that my favorite person that I loved working with, and a lot of people say it's kind of shocking to hear that, is Mariah Carey.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, I recently became the fashion director for Mariah Carey. And
really?
So I'm Mariah Carey's fashion director, and that's really cool.
Yeah, that's so
cool. That's a title I'd never thought I've had. And we did the residency just now in Las Vegas. It was, I think it was 28 days, and we had a beautiful show, and I created all the original looks for her to wear for the whole entire show. And just being a member of the team and taking flights with her and hearing what she wants. And she was singing 80s songs and on the airplane. And she's just such a wonderful mother to her kids. And she's such a cool person. And she gives each person their time. Like if she's getting her hair and makeup done and it's fashion time, she tells, you know, Glam, okay, Glam, let's take a break for a few minutes. This is Michael's time. We have to fit the dress now. Like even when it comes to lighting,
you know what I love about
that in a celebrity.
I was just gonna say, you know what I love about the story is that just debunks so much crap that's out in the media, because there's been so many articles about that woman, about what a diva she is, how demanding she is, how this, how that, and it just makes me so sad to think that someone that is that kind and generous and takes, you know, the efforts to say, this is this person's time or this is that or whatever, and really acknowledge each person and give each person their time. I think that's really cool, because I don't think that's the side of the business that you don't hear, because it's much more salacious for the media and news to print crap.
Yeah.
You know?
And you know what, guys? I think she's finally in a place and has the right team and the right people working with her. Mm-hmm. And it's so hard. I think she's been through a lot with the different people working in her team where, you know, some may say they took advantage, and I agree with that.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was always terrified because I did make her dresses before, and the other experiences weren't that wonderful. Let me tell you why. It was because of the team
that
was working with her.
Yeah.
They would say certain things, and I feel like they would speak for her.
Yeah.
And when I worked with her, we worked extremely close every single day. You guys, after the show, no joke, I would take her slippers off and give her a foot massage.
Oh, wow.
And I'd be like, oh my God, I'm rubbing Mariah Carey's feet. This is incredible. What am I doing?
Wow.
Why am I here?
Yeah.
I questioned myself every day. Every day I woke up and I looked forward to working with, like, I had my own staff there in a dressing room, that they were there to work with me. The team was fantastic. But that's the thing. When you have a great team behind you, I feel like you can be at peace to speak what's on your mind, deliver an amazing performance, and be who you were when you first started, because this woman has so much experience.
Yeah.
I mean, walking in a casino with her just to go and eat at Mr. Chow, was the most amazing experience I've ever seen. It's like the slot machines parted the ways
I bet. Everyone's like, oh my gosh, it's Mariah Carey. Yeah.
But no. See, this is a perfect segue into kind of what we wanted to touch upon.
But wait, he's got to tell us the negative person. Was there one negative person you're allowed to talk about?
Let me think.
Negative experience, not negative person. Sound bad. This is the juicy part
of
this.
I'm really trying to think who it could be. Let me think. Yeah, there's one.
Don't you feel like he's scrolling but through his phone right
now? I'm thinking like I'm trying. My phone's here. I'm trying to think how to tell you who it is because I'm 99% positive it wasn't her.
Yeah.
But I had to fly to New York.
Yeah.
Bring samples. Go to an SNL set.
Yeah.
And then I wasn't allowed to be on the SNL set. Mm. It was closed, but yet her whole 18 entourage of just makeup and glam was allowed to do whatever they want with no credentials, no IDs. And I was just pissed because I paid for my own flight. But I will tell you, they had budget for wardrobe.
Yeah.
So wardrobe and everything was taken care of. And they could only commit to a fitting in New York if I bought my flight. So I said, okay, is there room for you guys to at least get me a hotel?
Yeah.
So they got the hotel, but then the original date for the fitting got pushed because she was in rehearsals for SNL and all of that. And I will say she's extremely popular right now. She's definitely no size 2. And she's super confident, very comfortable in her body. Everyone loves her music. I'm a huge fan, love her so much, and know every single one of her songs.
Are we allowed to guess?
Her stylist.
Are we allowed to
guess? Yeah, you can guess, but I'm not going to say who it is.
Adele.
No.
No.
She's the sweetest thing on the planet. I know exactly.
No.
I can't even think. Well, name it then. Guess somebody.
No, I know exactly
who. I'm not saying it would be Adele. Like, I think it's me. I'm just saying.
She might have been Britney Spears' nemesis.
I don't know. How about an initial?
You mean Christina Aguilera? You were thinking?
No.
No.
No, she's not a size 2. She's not a size 4. She's definitely not a size 12.
I'm trying to think. Oh, really? Oh,
wouldn't be Kelly Clarkson.
Not Queen Latifah.
No, I love Queen Latifah. She's a very good friend of mine.
No. Queen Latifah is?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. What's the initial?
Look at the eyes. Yeah. Maybe we should have everybody DM us with their guess.
Oh, that's a good one.
Mm. He
wants to tell us.
Yeah, I know he does. He's gonna call us off.
I wanna tell you, but she's gotten so much controversy for being very naked. And
Kim Kardashian.
No. This was somebody who was on SNL.
Very naked.
She's a singer. She's a singer. She was on SNL. It wasn't her who was the problem. It was her stylist using his voice to speak up for her.
Yeah.
And made it an issue.
It wasn't Miley Cyrus.
She's little.
She's a gorgeous black woman with long black hair, lots of curves. And we're going to leave it at that. She has
fun later after the fact.
But you know what? I appreciate the fact that you recognize that it was probably the stylist. Because I got to say, there is a lot of people that I hear these stories. Like, they have these people as their team, the people kind of like fronting for them. And they're always the problems. Because then you meet the celebrity, you're like, they're like the nicest people ever.
And so. I will tell you, this stylist also worked with Nicki Minaj. Mm-hmm. And I was on set for 17 hours on a union set and all of that. And Nicki didn't even know I was there. And the only looks that she wanted to wear were the looks that I brought.
Yeah.
And the stylist would not let me meet her. And I was shocked. I'm like, what am I going to do? You think I'm going to ask for a selfie? She's worn me eight or nine times.
Yeah.
But you know what that's about? And that's about the fact that she would come to you directly because the stylist didn't do a good job pulling. And that person would lose their job. And you deal with that.
So guess what happened? Guess what happened? Only 7 months ago, Nicki was being honored at the VH1 Women's VH1 Luncheon Honor Awards. And she was the guest of honor. And she called me personally. She got my number from our mutual friend, Mila, who's a makeup artist. And she called me, she said, "Hi, Michael, I know this is very random, but I'm here with Mila. And my stylist who brought dresses here, I don't like anything. They don't understand my body like you do. I know it's last minute. I have 3 hours before this event. I'll send a car for you." She sent a limousine for me. She even called Shishi, like my people, and she found out what I like to eat, like all that kind of stuff, above and beyond.
Wow.
And I've had a couple moments with Nikki before, but never one like this. And Gretchen, you asked me earlier, when was that moment when you really feel like you made it? And now I remember what it was.
Yeah.
It was when I was alone with Nicki Minaj in her bathroom, just talking and trying on this dress. It hit me so hard. Yeah. I'm like,
yeah,
this is my life.
Yeah, right?
This is my life. Nicki Minaj is naked in front of me. It's just me in the bathroom. And I had to tell her, I said, when am I ever going to have this moment again? I have to tell her what happened on the set of that 18-hour music video.
Yeah.
I have to tell her that I was there. So I told her, I said, I got to tell you something. Your stylist was a motherfucker.
Aww, I love to hear that though. See, like,
and she was like, "That's why I fired his ass. Yes, that's why we're not working together no more. Because everybody told me he'd be running his mouth and saying shit."
I can't hear him do that so well.
Yep,
that's funny. Like, what happened? I love that story. Okay, Michael. So I got to address something with you that recently came up on your social media. So you launched...
My naked pics were leaked.
What?
The naked pics
were leaked. Oh, yeah. The naked pics were leaked.
That's a whole other show, Michael.
So, Michael, you just recently launched a beautiful swimwear collection with Revolve, which congratulations.
Yeah, that's
so
amazing,
exciting. So... he has this incredible, you know, line already with Revolve, super successful. And, you know, this is the hard part about social media sometimes. You make yourself vulnerable. You post something you've been working so hard on, you're so excited about. And I've seen you struggle a lot with your social media, you know, being pissed off at people for just not supporting or not being there. Like, it's interesting to see, like, what happens with that.
It's even not about support. I think it's about people just being...
Well, people being assholes,
but meaning,
you know, he's just been very outspoken with some of the things that he sees happen on social media, which I commend you for doing that. But recently you posted a video on Instagram about body shaming and how people said you lacked using real, quote unquote, women as models after you posted the launch of this beautiful swimwear line. And I loved your video. And I loved how you just called people out on this. I mean, it was so amazing because I think that people have this misconception of body shaming. And they think that, you know, if you are talking about a woman that's a little curvier, then that's body shaming. But you can do the exact same thing to a woman that's skinny. That's considered body shaming too. So talk to me a little bit about that.
Well, the thing is, like, it's a super touchy subject with so many people and people who listen and people who comment and, you know, the people who are always behind their phones. You know, you never know what happens. But what these people don't really understand is when you're a brand or a face of a brand or you have a launch, people use social media to promote what they're doing. And when you're somebody who's known, you want to promote and you want to be positive. You want to be happy on something that you work so hard on.
Yeah.
People don't understand that their negative comments can really tarnish and destroy a launch.
Yeah.
And they could ruin something just by leaving those negative comments that somebody's worked so hard on.
Yeah.
And I just don't think it's fair to hide behind your phone and say these things without knowing what's gone into a project or without doing your research. Most of the people never have time to do their research. They're quick to comment, but not quick to, you know, do their research. And other people see that stuff and they just go with it.
Yeah.
And I think that's a problem that we have when one person says, "Oh, well, he doesn't use these kind of models. Oh, well, he only uses these kind of models." People see that and it gets stuck and it resonates with them and it spreads.
Yeah, it spreads like wildfire. It ignites the next person, be like, "Yeah, I agree." And they go down this whole long list. And let's just be clear, you guys. Michael Costello has built a massive empire by making women of all shapes and sizes feel beautiful in an industry that has not been so welcoming. So this guy has been one of the first and foremost, you know, front runners of that, of dressing women literally of all sizes and making them look so incredibly beautiful.
But this is a global issue. And part of the reason too, Michael, that this, you know, our desire to talk to you, we actually had a fan of our show that listens to us in the UK write in about the fact that she was dealing with body shaming. She was unhappy about the way she looked and about her weight and all these things that were happening to her. And then literally the following day, you went through this controversy on social
media. Yeah.
And I was like, wow, it's ridiculous that
I mean, it's too much. It really is. And it affected me because, you know, I'm not saying it just started. We all know this has been going on for years.
Yeah.
But social media took it to a whole new level. Yeah. Like this used to happen before social media too. And but now, you know, more people see it. And what some women and, you know, men do it too, but some it's mainly the girls who, you know, who are doing the body shaming. I don't really think it's mainly the guys. But what I would say is a lot of the women don't realize what's happening to that person in the photo.
Yeah.
They just see them as a product or a non-real person.
Yep.
But who are we to judge that that woman is not a real person?
Yeah.
And just by saying, oh, why don't you use real women? Well, what is your definition of a real woman? Is it a woman who's significantly overweight and only stays at home in the kitchen and cooks and has 8 children?
Right.
And, you know, she doesn't have a job. She's a stay-at-home mom. Or is your definition of a real woman who's only, you know, 5'1" and weighs 175 and doesn't have children but takes care of her husband at home? Like, you cannot say, why don't you use a real woman? Because I strongly believe all women are real women. If you have, if you have a soul, you have a heart, you have a mind, you have a body, you have a brain, you have eyes, you have nose, you have breasts, you have body parts, you know, then that makes you a real woman.
Right.
You cannot look at a model and just because she was born a certain way and she has beautiful high cheekbones and she has long glamorous hair, she didn't choose to look the way she did. It's in her DNA and this is just her profession. Mm-hmm. You don't see her going around, you know, bashing people that just work at a CVS or a Rite Aid or a Walgreens.
And then go
or,
be a real woman.
You know,
yeah.
And go be a real woman.
Yeah.
To me, we celebrate women of all walks of life.
Amen.
People always ask me, where does your inspiration come from? And it's always the same. All women really inspire me. But no, I'm not going to say like, oh yeah, I get inspired when I see a woman who's, you know, just not doing anything and she's just there like trolling behind her computer and leaving ugly comments. That woman's probably not going to inspire me.
Right.
But when I see a woman on the beach or even at the grocery store, she doesn't have to look like a supermodel. As a designer and as an artist, sometimes I look at their clothes and I'm like, I wonder what I could make with that top. Ooh, what if we tied it like this? It doesn't matter what she looks like. Yep. I always get inspiration from everybody.
Yeah. And it makes me sad that you had to, you know, take away from this beautiful launch and have to go defend, you know, this model slash a woman that was your friend, knowing
she's
and the thing that I loved about it was you were like, look, you guys, this is my friend. Like she is a real person. She has real feelings. So for you to sit there and like bash her because of her shape and because of who she is and because of her career, like it was a really eye-opening moment. I feel like for a lot of people out there that were just like, oh, wow. You know, this is a real woman. It doesn't matter. It's like, they literally just, it was so mean and cruel. And that's the point behind, you know, this accessibility that people now have to all of us through social media.
Yeah. And I think it's too much of an accessibility. And I think people are being too free will to say what they want and not understanding their actions or the consequences that they cause to the model, the photographer, the hairstylist, the makeup artist, the consumer, number one, when they see these kind of comments, they always say, well, I'll probably never look like her. But what they don't understand is it's not just that we book that model because not only is she a gorgeous Black woman, but we would have got bashed if she was a gorgeous white woman as well.
I know. I know.
So I'm always damned if I do, because if I used a white girl, the next thing would have been like, why didn't she use a gorgeous Black girl?
I know.
But they forget to look at my page and see that we're such a diverse brand. Yep. And like I said, we celebrate everybody. You're going to find girls from size 18 to 24 to a 00, Black, white, Puerto Rican, Asian, Cuban. I love all women. When we do our fashion shows, was always noted in Vogue, Bazaar, Marie Claire, Glamour, everybody, that's the most diverse show that they've ever seen on the runway. Yep. Even when you look back at other designers, it was kind of taboo to have more than one Black woman in a show when I had 10.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. But that's what I love to you. Kudos to you for that. I love that you stand up for what you believe in and you don't give a damn what people say. I love that about you.
I do it. And I'm not afraid to touch topic on it. And like when I have a gorgeous Black girl, I know instantly what I want to put her in. I want to put her into tangerine because it's going to pop on her skin tone. Mm-hmm. I want to put her in something white because it's going to be jaw dropping. Mm-hmm. I don't look at them as just art pieces,
right.
But women of all shades, all colors are really, really celebrated here.
Yeah.
And I try to encourage other women to uplift each other. It's so important in an industry, in the world, to support each other and be there for each other and uplift each other instead of bash each other with hateful comments. I mean, you got to look at, you know, all right, let's say there's a woman who is in her late 50s. She's not a model. She has a few children, but she's starting up a business. And then her business starts doing really well online. She has a popular e-com. She's selling products like crazy. Are we going to bash her products and say, oh, I got this and I didn't like it, it was stupid? No, this is a woman who's in her 50s who's trying to rebrand all over again, mm-hmm. and trying to start something beautiful. We need to spread more positivity and encourage people to do things that they want to do or that they've been wanting to do their whole entire lives instead of bringing them down with negativity.
I have to tell you how much I love the culture of your organization, of your company. I mean, every time we're there, everyone is so uplifting and supportive, from the support staff to, you know, the seamstresses, like everyone that's there.
So sweet.
And I feel like because of the culture you've created just in who you are as a person, that this is why this next thing happened. So at the onset of the coronavirus pandemic, you captured the world as one of the first designers to design and provide masks to aid essential workers. So, I mean, the question is how did it feel to give back in such a meaningful way? You know, we know you so personally because I see this about you constantly. As long as we've known you, you've always done this. But, you know, I guess what motivates you to constantly give back the way that you do, even though you take so much heat on social?
I really feel like it was the upbringing from my mom and dad. My dad also used to work in a, he made